Well, good afternoon. How is everybody doing tonight? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I think tonight's message is either going to be on the good side or it's going to be bad. I'm preaching a little different than I normally do. Brother Grant has been, I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but he's been doing topical sermons. And for some reason, I guess I've got the bug to do a topical message, and I normally don't do that. So, I think it's going to be like a topical, expository type message. So it's either going to be really good or not so good. It's either going to be really long, I think, because I got it's going to be or really short. So it could go a lot of different ways than that. But we're going to start in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, I would invite your attention to the book of Luke. We're going to be starting in chapter 5. After that, we're going to be going to the book of John. We shouldn't be much out of the book of Luke or the book of John tonight, so that should be relatively easy for us. Tonight's message is on the life of Paul. We're really going to be looking at three places in Paul's life. One is right when the church begins. That's where we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. Then we're going to be looking at right before the crucifixion, and then we're going to be looking kind of right after the crucifixion to a degree. So we're going to be starting Luke chapter 5. We're going to be starting in verses 4 through 8. The Bible reads, Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Simon being Peter in this case, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our many blessings. We ask that you would be with the reading of the Word of God tonight, dear Lord, and we just thank you for the Word of God. The fact that we can come and we can we read your Word any time of day, any time we're in despair or sorrow, we can come and seek it for guidance, dear Lord, and may we use it just for that tonight. May we use it for honoring and glorifying your name. May we just lift you up and give you all the honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, really, what kind of drew the inspiration for this kind of topical message is verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it. And I think a lot of times where we see Simon Peter at life, especially in his walk with Jesus Christ, is how he sees Jesus at that point in time. And the way he sees him right now, I'm going to apologize to some of the guys who went to the boys' lock-in. My kind of first point is going to be over what my devotion was about. So if you have a good memory, you kind of already know I'm going to be going with this. But if you don't, well, you're just going to get to hear it twice and you're going to think you never heard it before. So starting in verse 4, the Bible reads, this may be something that some of you have heard before. This is something I actually heard from Steve Meese. So I know a lot of you guys listen to him on sermon audio. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. This is what Simon or Peter is saying at this point in time. He's saying, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. You have no clue. But nevertheless, just to get you off my back, I will take out my net and I will go for a draw. The really, really, really big word that we need to focus in on this is net. Because I was in Steve Meese's manners and customs class, and apparently this was a manner and custom of this style of fishing in this day and age, is where you would have a couple of different styles of nets. One net is to catch bait fish, where they come out to the front of their boat or at the shore, and they would see schools of bait fish, and they would throw the net to try to catch these schools of bait fish. And then when they caught the bait fish, they would use these bait fish to try to catch the good fish, the big fish. And they would use these big fish by using multiple nets. Normally, I guess the manner or the custom or tradition at that time was to use three larger nets that they would kind of encompass about the bait fish. And then they'd slowly bring in these large nets and You know, I'm sure you guys have seen this done before, but it encloses a large group of fish into a very small space, and then you can load them on the boat. And in verse number 4, obviously Jesus knows something about fishing because he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. He uses nets in what type of... We got a teacher. Well, what do you notice at the end of that word net? It's plural, meaning that there was more than one. That's what the S insinuates, just for some who failed English class, okay? So multiple nets, but Peter, whenever he says the word in verse 5, nevertheless at thy word I will let down the what? The net. So this is singular. Here's the thing. What was Simon Peter? He was a fisherman. Now, a lot of times in this era, when we think of fishermen, we think of people who like to go out on Saturday with their bass boat and their fishing poles and go up and down the lake and catch fish. That's what we think of as fishermen. At least that's what I do, because I work on their boats all day and I find them the parts that they need and all that kind of stuff. But this is not the type of fisherman. This is the fisherman who fishes for a living. The fact that if Simon Peter's family is going to eat or not depends on how many fishes he catch. So here Jesus Christ is trying to bless Simon Peter by giving him a bountiful of fish. This is something that his livelihood depends on. And what Simon does, he says, you know what, I think I know better than you. I know more than you do. But just to give my back, I'll let one net out. And when we come here to verse number 8, verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What did Peter see? I've always contemplated that. After I had that class with Steve Meese, what did Peter see? In my opinion, this is where it changed from the boys retreat. I have, the right to change my opinion. A lot of times we as humans, we like to compare ourselves to other humans. That's what I like to do. I mean, right now I'm working in the shop at work, I like to compare myself to other techs. Well, I got more stuff done than he did today. It means I'm a good tech. That's what that means. Not necessarily. I know a lot of people are better techs than me. My father's one of them. But when I'm in that atmosphere, I can't help it. I mean, that's just my human nature coming. That's what happens. I think. And especially you see that in the lost world. When you're trying to witness to somebody, the thing you hear the most is what? Well, I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. If you've ever witnessed to somebody, you've heard that a million times. I'm a good person. What Simon Peter's seen was that him being a good person meant absolutely nothing in the midst of a just and perfect God. Here's the thing. Simon Peter saw his disobedience, just one little act of disobedience. It's something that a lot of us wouldn't even really, pay a whole lot of attention to. You know, if you caught one of your family members doing a small act of disobedience like Peter did, you probably wouldn't even mention anything. It wouldn't even that big of a deal, right? It'd be like water off a duck's back. I mean, we wouldn't even care. But here's Simon seeing that one little simple act of disobedience before a mighty and just God. And he didn't want to be in the presence of that mighty and just God anymore. Let me tell you something, it doesn't matter how good you are. And if Peter would have kept that sight, if he would have kept that fresh in his mind, these next events we're going to read about in Peter's life, I think would have been dramatically different. We're going to be in the book of John chapter 13. Book of John, chapter 13. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is kind of briefly before the crucifixion. This is right before they came to take away Jesus Christ. We're going to be in chapter 13, verses 37 through 38. The Word of God reads in the book of John. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We know how this story plays out. Peter gets very, very over jealous, or overzealous, I should say, and he chops that guy's ear off. Jesus picks up, puts it back on, and then they crucify Jesus Christ, and But right whenever everything's kind of looking bad, where do we find Peter? Instead of being right there following Jesus Christ like he said he was going to do, where was he? He was warming himself by the fire of the world. And what does he do three times? We all know the story. He denies him three times. Now, let's go back and kind of think about the Luke we just read about in Luke chapter 5. He just saw his disobedience before a just and mighty God. Just a simple act of disobedience before a just and mighty God. And here we're seeing Peter completely denying him. Not just an act of disobedience, but completely denying Jesus Christ. Now, do you think if Peter would have had this thought of who, how mighty and how just Jesus Christ is, do you think he would have completely denied him? If a simple act of disobedience would have brought him to his knees, how do you think this affected his ministry the rest of his life? I would say out of all the, you know, again, this is me assuming, I have no Bible to back this, but this is probably one of the things that as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, is one of those things that's kind of hard to leave behind. You know, you're always going to be kind of kicking yourself for. And it all could have been avoided just by keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ, seeing Him for who really is, seeing how just and mighty He really is. I know this is a little bit different message than I normally preach. We're going to go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, just a couple of pages. So this is after the crucifixion. And not only is it after the crucifixion, it's after the resurrection. Jesus is already resurrected at this point in time. At this point, for all the Christians, for all the disciples and all the apostles of Jesus Christ, victory has been assured. Their faith has kind of been fulfilled at this point. They've been following this man. They've been learning all these things for 3.5 years. They've went through all these different persecutions and all these hard times just so that they could see their Savior rise again, for Him to do everything that He said He was going to do, for them to finally have victory. And in verse number 1 through 3 in chapter 21, this is what Peter's reaction is. So he just had the greatest victory. He just realized Jesus did everything He said He was going to do, and He does this. And these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise He showed Himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas, Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, also known as the sons of thunder, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. That kind of completes, I go a fishing. I've just followed this man for 3.5 years. Just watched Him get crucified. I gave up all hope on Him. I denied Him. He rose again, showed me completely wrong, showed me where all my faith is lacking. I now have victory in Him, and I'm going to go back fishing. Now, this isn't top the... Again, he's going back to his old work. Think about this. He gave up fishing once to become a minister for Jesus Christ, to become an apostle for Jesus Christ. And here he is, right after he has a victory, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go fishing again. How profound. He saw his act of disobedience. He seen his act of denial before a just God. And then right after the resurrection, you know what? I'm going to go back to my old career of fishing. Talk about losing your sight in a very short period of time. Ladies and gentlemen, if Peter can lose sight on Jesus Christ in such a short period of time, and when we read the Bible about Peter, we see him do a lot of great things. We see him as a mighty man of God. Let me tell you something, we are no different. Amen. We can go from a mountain to the tallest of tallest mountaintops of victories to the deepest, deepest valley in a very, very short period of time. Right. And it all happens because of why? Well, let's keep reading here. The Bible will give us an answer, I promise. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood. Let's read verse 3 here. I'm starting to think Peter was kind of a bad fisherman. Maybe you need to pick up a different job to begin with. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'll go fishing. They say unto them, we'll also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. Every time I've heard about Peter go fishing, he's never had any good luck by himself. I don't know. Maybe he needs a guide or something. Maybe it's good that Jesus intervened with his life and gave him a different career. All right. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saying to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. At least they're honest. I know a lot of guys that go fishing don't catch nothing. They'll lie to you. And he said unto them, cast the net on the side, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciples, whom Jesus saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw fires on the coal, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. Simon Peter, in such a short period of time, had got to the point where he no longer seen who Jesus Christ was. That he was no longer even a remote... A remote impact on his life. Jesus, at this point, didn't have any effect on Simon Peter's life. It got to the point, even when he was on the shore, he said he was so far off they couldn't recognize him. Maybe we need to get back to the shore. Maybe we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, here's something. Do you guys know Reggie Tipton? I think he came and preached a revival once. This is something he kind of pointed out to me. I'll let you guys leave it for your open interpretation. Verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land of great fishes. And we've got to back up in verse 10. Jesus said, bring of the fishes which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went and drew the net to land a full of great fishes, 153. So we got 153 fishes. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. I went and did some math here, and I've already got it. But the average fish that they were eating, that they were fishing for, weighed 4 pounds. That was an average fish. But the Bible says that it was full of great fishes. So what can we... These fish were probably 5-6 pounds. If anybody's really good at math or has a calculator handy, what's 6 times 153? I did this once upon a time. I forgot. What? 918. So we got almost 1,000 pounds of fish. And who brought it to dry land? Peter did. With all the help of all the other fishermen. No, the Bible says Peter alone brought 1,000 pounds worth of fish to shore. Do you guys think you could do that? Poke, you're a pretty stout guy. You think you can pull 1,000 pounds of fish? No. Poke's out. Maybe at this point we need to start trusting what Jesus says. And if he says this to do something, we need to do it no matter how ridiculous and absurd it sounds. I mean, I don't know about you, if there's a big 1,000-pound sack of fish there and Jesus says, hey, pull that up. I was like, why don't you guys come help? No. The thing is, in verses, let's see here, verses 16 or verses 15, so when he dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, I think what we've been talking about, how Peter keeps losing sight on Jesus Christ. I think in verse 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is going to try to kind of shake him up a little bit, get his head where it needs to be. He's saying, in verse 15, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" What's he talking about more than these? More than these fish? And what do we say fish equals for Peter? Money? A living? Do you love me more? Do you love, it could be open for interpretation here. Maybe it's not fish for you. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's something else. Do you love us me more than these? He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou lovest. Thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lamb." Verse 16, he saith unto him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said it unto them the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Here's the thing. I don't know about you, but if I was in Peter's position, I'd be kind of questioning, why is God questioning me all this? Well, Jesus had good reason to. On a multitude of occasions up until this point, whenever he actually had victory, Peter chose other things over Jesus Christ. He continually lost sight on him. We see that whenever he's walking on water. This was a point where Peter had the chance to do a great and mighty things for Jesus Christ, and he loses sight on him and he sinks. Right at the very, very, very beginning between the relationship of Jesus and Simon Peter had the chance to have a very great blessing, but he said, "You know what, I know better than you, God," and he missed out. Right here, whenever he had the chance to go and witness and be by Jesus' Christ's side, right after the resurrection, he says, "I'm giving up this ministry, I'm going fishing." And Jesus had to physically come to him and put his mind back where it was. He said, you say you love me, but here you are choosing another career path than what I have in store for you. You're doing other things that I want you to do. Do you really love me?" He says, "Yes." "Really?" "Yes." And he says, "Okay, if you actually love me the way you do, you need to quit your fishing and you need to start serving me. And the way you do that is by serving others. Feed my sheep." Right when this happens, shortly after we know that the ascension happens, and then comes the day of Pentecost, and a certain guy stands up and he preaches, and there was a massive revival. Thousands of people were saved. Who was that guy? Simon Peter? Who was the person they'd put the sick out in the streets for, so hopefully this person could walk by and the shadow would be cast and hope that they might be healed? Who was that? Simon Peter? Whenever we get our minds right, when we get our eyes fixed where they need to be, we can do great things. Amen. But here's the thing. A lot of times we're like Peter. We lose sight. We start thinking about our jobs or our relationships or our financials. Where's this money coming from? Where what am I going to do with this? How am I going to pay this bill? And before you know it, Jesus is just this distant figure in the background who has no effect on your life at all. And you have nothing at all to show for it, just like Peter did. And Jesus, the way he's going to work, he's going to show up and says, You got anything to show for it? And you're going to say, "No, I don't." He says, "Well, maybe you need to start doing things my way." He's going to put you in your place. A lot of times people like to portray Jesus as a soft, loving, weak individual. Well, he is soft and he's loving, but he's not weak. Jesus will and can break you. He's just going to let you drift so far until he gets your hands up. My dad was that way. I would be disobedient to a certain point where he couldn't. He told me no enough times, and he came down on me with his full wrath. Jesus is the exact same way. I don't know what your need is tonight. I don't know where you stand spiritually with Jesus Christ, but you may be coming to the point where you're backslidden. And here's something that I'm going to tell you guys tonight. A lot of times I see people come up and they rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ. I think before Jesus Christ, words they don't mean a whole lot to Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. Actions speak louder than words. I think that actually, let me go back here just a moment before we close. We see that in John chapter 13, whenever Simon says, "I will follow you, I will lay down my life for you." Peter said, "I'll lay down my life for you," but yet he's found denying him. If you don't walk up this aisle and say you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, or you're going to live for Him, or you're going to do things different, you're going to fix your relationships, you're going to do better at work, you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you say all these things, let me tell you something, before God, that doesn't mean anything until actions happen. You can come to the altar, I invite you to come to the altar to make things right with Jesus Christ, but none of that means anything if you go back out those doors and you do just like Simon Peter did, you lose sight on him, and what happened over the altar becomes absolutely nothing. So as we prepare for a song of invitation, what are you going to do tonight? Are you actually going to make your heart right? Or are you just going to do some little feel-good rededication and somebody give you a pat on the back and say, "That a boy," and send you back out the door and you just go back to doing things the way you used to? It's something you're going to have to choose. So as we all stand and the song leader comes, we all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all Your many blessings. May we be able to glean from the life of Peter these lessons. May we be able to learn from his mistakes. May we be able to apply his victories to our lives so that we may have victory like Peter did. May we be able to live for You, dear Lord. May You be what's forefront and fresh in our mind. Dear Lord, if there are any decisions that need to be made tonight, I know that You can send the Holy Spirit to convict. And may we just be obedient to follow. I ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.